Exodus 27, verses 1 through 8, these are God's words. You shall make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make its horns on its 4 corners. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. Also you shall make its pans to receive its ashes, and its shovels, and its basins, and its forks, and its fire pans. You shall make all its utensils of bronze. You shall make a grate for it, a network of bronze, and on the network you shall make 4 bronze rings at its 4 corners. You shall put it under the rim of the altar beneath, that the network may be midway up the altar. And you shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. The poles shall be put in the rings, and the poles shall be on the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. You shall make it hollow with boards, as it was shown you on the mountain. So shall they make it. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So far the Lord had given Moses instruction for the holy place and the most holy place. And now the first piece of furniture outside the holy place is the bronze altar. The first piece of furniture that he describes is the bronze altar. And this starts to teach how men may be permitted to enter the place of the fellowship and the blessing of God, and that before a man can enter, someone must die. Blood must be shed and wrath must be burnt. The altar is described in some respects in a way that reminds us of both the table for the showbread, for the that signifies the fellowship of God, and then in the holy place, and then the ark in the most holy place. It's bigger, however. So there's a connection, and this, however, is not for a display of communication to us. This is to be something that is designed for working. You notice it's overlaid with bronze, and its utensils are bronze. They're not gold. They're not symbolic so much as for use. You see the use of the pans. Verse 3. It's a word that means something more what we would call pots. The word for ashes is actually a word that is more fat. It's referring to fat that has been burnt and melted. The altar needs pots for the collection and carrying away. There's going to be so much burning and melting of the sacrifices of the victims that are slaughtered first and their blood shed. You have shovels, which are for the removal of actual ashes and residue and things, the kind of thing you'd use for a fireplace or a campfire. You have the basins, which the word from which basins come is one for throwing, for the application of atoning blood. The main idea is not collection, but application there. And then the forks, for turning the victim, fire pans, not now for the collection of refuse like the shovels were, but those are for the moving around and collecting of hot coals. This is something that is going to be used for a lot of work. There is great work to be done. And then it's also something that is going to need to be portable. The idea is it's not an altar that is going to be used just one time or in just one place. It's a sacrifice. It facilitates sacrifices that are going to need to be done on an ongoing basis and with the people wherever they go. And so you have the poles and the rings and the two sides. You have the concern for the weight, that it should be made hollow with boards. And then you have a reminder at the end, again, that this is according to the pattern that is shown to Moses on the mountain, so that this is a copy of a true and final thing, as Hebrews tells us, by the Holy Spirit's own interpretation of this pattern language. And we can see that there is great work to be done in human terms of the slaughtering of animals and the draining of their blood and the burning of the animal and the application of the blood with the basins and maintenance on the altar. But there is a greater work yet to be done. That, of course, is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, which by itself is more than all of the work that was supposed to be done with all of these utensils. A greater death with the application of an infinitely greater blood. The pouring out of God's wrath in a full and final and propitiating way, whereas this burning here could not propitiate, could not take away guilt or the wrath of God from us. And then, of course, one great difference is that the cross and Christ himself and his sacrifice, it only ever had to be, only ever would be done just the once. Didn't need to be portable. It took place one time in one place for all, with effectiveness and application for everyone who had ever believed in him, looking forward to his coming, and everyone who ever believes in him now, looking backward. And so you can look at this passage and think about this passage and realize the greatness of what had to be done to atone for sin so that you could come near God, so that you could have fellowship with God and the favor of God, like is signified in the holy place and in the Holy of Holies, so that you could have not just the fellowship of God and the favor of God, but you could have God himself in the Holy of Holies. And you could see the greatness of what had to be done. But you can compare the altar that was given to the Jews to the altar that we have, which Hebrews 13 says we have an altar from which they have no right to eat. They can't eat from our altar. And that is Christ himself, who is alive and risen and yet continues to feed us upon himself. Because he has shed once for all blood that atones for our sin. Because he has propitiated the wrath of God. And we who have Christ as our altar and Christ as our sacrifice may know for certain that our guilt and our sin is taken away. If Jesus is yours, you may know for certain that your guilt and your sin is taken away. And that what he has gained for you is not merely a blank slate or created rewards, but what he has gained for you are those things that were pictured as being gained at the bronze altar, at this altar in Exodus 27. Fellowship with God, the favor of God, the table and the lampstand, and then even more than that, God himself and intimacy. Intimacy with him, that you would be his and that he would be yours, and this has been obtained by the once-for-all sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. So it was very important, wasn't it, that they do everything with respect to the altar and everything else, but just as it says here in verse 8, exactly as was shown Moses on the mountain. And it's very important for us who still can come up to God only through Jesus Christ, that we come only as he has commanded, rejoicing in that which he has accomplished, that which he has done for us in the death and resurrection and ongoing application of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ to us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would grant unto us to see how awful sin is, that it is a hatred towards you, how guilty that you hate it. And we pray that you would not allow us to minimize how wicked and guilty it is by your providing atonement for us, grant instead that we would maximize how great has been your work in atoning for our sin and removing from us our guilt and the wrath that we justly deserved. We pray that you would make our hearts often to turn to Christ, that whenever we feel that we are out of fellowship or out of favor, that you would bring our faith back to him who once for all has atoned for our sin, and that by him and by his sacrifice we might have again consciences that are hearts that are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Grant to us to enjoy through Jesus your fellowship, your favor, indeed you yourself. Make us to remember that it was so important to you to hold this before your people, that you gave them this altar with its sacrifices. Make us to respond rightly as well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.